Right? Without a light fire on Yom Tov. Without a light fire on Yom Tov. In the way that transferring from fire from one place one fire to the other fire.
Not to light.
Not to light new fire, to make a fire on a candle from a lit fire, right? But not in every situation is okay. Only if it's needed, not for no reason. You can't do it for no reason, you have to do it for a reason. Yeah?
You want to smoke. Good reason.
No, but let's say, I'll tell you, for example, you want to light now the... You want to light now the gas, okay? You want to light your gas at home. So you have a few ways how to do it. You can either take the candle, bring it right near the fire, and then light it like that. Or even, let's say, with a match. Or, you can take a match, light it, light with it a candle, go walk with the candle from the corner of the house to the fire, to the gas, and then turn it on. You lit fire for no reason. Right? You didn't need all those intermediate
steps.
Yeah, you could have done it directly. You're not supposed to light
you. You try to avoid the intermediate steps?
Yeah, unless it's very complicated. So, let's say the candle is really very, very low. And you can't light with it, the gas. So what should you do? Then you can take a candle, light it from the fire, and then go do it. Yeah? But it's better with a match. Why? Because don't forget, you cannot put out either. What, do you leave the candle out on the whole time? Now what are you going to do?
Just set it down.
Just put it down, and when it goes out, it goes out. Match, you just put it down, yeah. It used to be that if there was a bris or something, they used to light a lot of light, a lot of candles in the house, to make it very nice, a lot of light. But in our days, there's electricity. Therefore, you don't have to light all these candles. You don't. I know, too. You have electricity, it's enough.
Can you flip on a switch?
No. Those who have those who light with floating. Mr. Yaakov? Ma?
Ma kolem?
I have to say, I'm going to go to the
house.
Okay. I'm going to
a floating wick?
Yeah.
In paraffin oil? Or oil?
Yeah, in oil.
Or
yeah.
Olive oil?
Yeah, so it's, let's say it's 2 days Yom Tov, right? Or Yom Tov and Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
You light on Yom Tov, not on Shabbos, yeah, obviously. So it's better to prepare the wick, to put it inside that thing, inside the floater, put the wick in the floater before Yom Tov. If you didn't, you light it on Yom Tov, it's better to prepare it from before Yom Tov. Mm. You get it?
Yeah, any preparations you could do before, you should do before.
No, especially this. Because some say it's like making a new vessel, something new.
So, if you have a 2-day Yom Tov, so you're in whose sorts? So you would have to make one that's already in and one that's out, ready to transfer?
Yeah, just the wick.
Right.
Just the wick in the floater. Not the whole oil and everything.
So you would have to refill the oil somehow.
Yeah, no problem to refill the oil. Clean it out, put the new oil, and then put the wick inside.
Okay.
Just to put the wick in the floater, prepare it for you to better. Mm-hmm. If you didn't, you're allowed to do it on Yom Tov. So, we know on Shabbos, for Ashkenazi women, how do we do it? How do they do it? How do they light candles? They first light, and then they make a bracha. Right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's Ashkenazi women do. Friday women do it.
You mean the opposite?
Yeah. Why do we first Ashkenazi first light and make a bracha?
How?
Why?
Why do they do it that way?
Mm-hmm. Because we're afraid that by saying the bracha, she's accepting Shabbos.
Then what?
But if she first says the bracha and then lights, it's a problem, because maybe by making the bracha, she's accepting Shabbos already.
Ah.
And then she's lying on Shabbos. It's a problem. But if she lights, she lit a candle. Then she covers her eyes, makes the bracha, and opens her eyes. Oh, here, there's light here.
It's funny, we're not worried about that.
No. But on Yom Tov, there's no problem like that. Why? Because on Yom Tov, you're allowed to light on Yom Tov. So maybe you should make the bracha and then light.
Uh-huh.
You could do that also. But you could also do it that way. Mostly women, they just do it. Like Ashkenazi, usually they'll first light and then make the bracha, like on Shabbos. So there's no difference, really. Yeah. The truth is, the women are knowing to say Shechianu on the Yom Tov when they light the candles. Yeah, they could if they want. But really, according to Halacha, it's better to say a Kiddush. So you guys, the Halacha is supposed to be a Kiddush. But we don't tell the women until he says here. The only thing they should know that once they said Shechianu, they accepted Yom Tov. And if they accepted Yom Tov, they cannot do any Melacha. And they can add, by lighting the candles, you can say, I lit the candles, and I'm not accepting Yom Tov yet. It's fine. Right? Like on Shabbos. A woman can light the candles, she still has a few things to do. She has to say, I'm lighting candles, I'm not accepting Shabbos. Light the candles and go. And go do whatever you need to do and accept Shabbos afterwards. But on Yom Tov, remember, you say Shechianu, that means you accept it. Why are you saying Shechianu? Because it's Yom Tov now. Only when it's Yom Tov, you say Shechianu, right? So, if you say Shechianu, she'll be accepting the Yom Tov. She should know if she said Shechianu on the candles, she accepted Yom Tov, and she can't eat until Kiddush, and she can't go into the car to go to Shul, for example, and stuff like that. Yeah, if she still has stuff to do, she should not make Shechianu on the candles. And afterwards, when the husband makes Shechianu on the Kiddush, she'll say amen. Also, the same thing with Yom Kippur, we say Shechianu in the Shul. Right? Yom Kippur, at night, we say Shechianu in the Shul. There's no Kiddush. So but the women that sit on the candles, they shouldn't say on in shul. If a man is lighting candles, wife is not around, he doesn't have a wife or whatever, he should not say Shechianu on candles for sure. He should say Shechianu on the wine. Also, a woman who lives alone, or she's the one who makes the kiddush at home, she shouldn't do Shechianu on the candles for sure now. She makes Shechianu on the Kiddush. How many candles do you light on Yom Tov? Same thing on Shabbos. Whatever she does on Shabbos, she does on Yom Tov. At least two. Zachor or Shema. Also on Yom Tov. Your wife, how many wife lights?
One, two, three, four.
For you and her and the daughters?
And
the cats, five.
No, oh. The two sons, two.
She has those two sons.
Right.
So she lights how much?
Four.
Six? Four?
Yeah, four.
How much do you like lights?
Four, five.
Yeah. Is there any?
Depends if there's a yard side of a yacht, tzadik or something.
Yeah. Wife lights always one for Rabbeinu. And then one for each child, then another two for Shabbos. My daughter also the lights.
Does she light?
Mina Chabad.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, my daughter is light.
Do you not have a...
Yeah, but that's how my wife grew up, so she's used to lighting.
I heard that the wife of the Orson Mayer, yeah. The Weinstein, I think.
That's not Orson Mayer.
What's it? No, what's it? Over here.
Oh, here, okay. Yeah.
At least she lights more than 200 candles.
Really? She has to start an hour before. Really, why?
I don't know. More the better, maybe? I don't know.
Well,
burn down the house?
I gave my daughter a bottle of bracha that she'll need a 30 candle holder menorah for a Shabbos.
It's better not to use the Yom Tov candles to light, let's say, the gas, if you need to light gas. Better not to. If there's no other candle, and that's only, so you're allowed to. The chatchila is better if you put a 24-hour candle, And that's the one you're going to use to light the gas and whatever else you need.
Now, for the big 48-hour candles that are really wide and big, you can use those for lighting Shabbos, and Yom Tov candles.
Any light. If your glasses, if the lens fall off on Shabbos, you're not allowed to put it back.
Not allowed.
So let's say the...
On Shabbos?
Yeah, on Shabbos. Let's say the... What's it called? That piece. The one that goes on the ear. What's it called? The handle?
Yeah.
The handle of the glasses fell off. On Shabbos, you can't... You can't put it back together. But on Yom Tov, you can put it back together, not tightly. Okay?
Well, normally these just pop in with a little...
Yeah, so that you'll be able to put back, but not on Shabbos. On Shabbos, the Baya.
But if the lens came out of the glasses, you can put it back. You need it for reading.
On Shabbos, no, on Shabbos.
Yom Tov.
But not tightly.
Shabbos now.
On Yom Tov Rishon, if there's a nifta, someone died, nowadays we wait for Yom Tov Sheni to bury him. If it's possible. Okay. Why? Because it says here, no, so even Yom Tov Rishon don't do it. Yeah, even by a Jew. Someone told me there was a guy in Brest that he nifter in Rosh Hashanah a few years ago. He buried him in Rosh Hashanah.
Which day?
I think so.
You just said on there, it said not to do it the first day.
No, if it's possible to wait, sometimes it's not possible. When you're shrine, they don't wait.
It's better. What's the reason they don't wait?
It's written many in the Zohar a lot. Pashas Emma, I just think about the neshama. It's right there. If a person is able to die right by the his grave and roll right into the grave and be covered, it's good for us because it's better for him. But it's every moment that the body is here and the soul is not in the body, it's suffering for the soul because the chitzonim they leech on.
What leeches on?
Chitzonim, the external forces,
negative forces.
Powerful for the external forces to come. Therefore, in Yerushalayim, there's a law that you don't leave a dead person overnight. You die at 10 o'clock at night, they'll bury him at 1 o'clock in the morning. No problem. 2 o'clock in the morning. They don't let him stay the whole night. Bury him as soon as possible. I read it to my wife. She says, okay, so if I die, so bury me immediately, okay?
I know my father-in-law, it was L.A. He died at 6:30 in the morning. We did the Tahara at noon. And I think they were able to get bury him by 3.
It was Friday.
Yeah, so it's Friday.
In Israel, it's much faster. Much faster.
I mean, I was finding all the relatives. They said, wait a week.
Oh my God.
None of our relatives except my family was religious.
You luckily didn't say,
it's burning.
That's what happened to my wife's sister. They cremated the body before she arrived.
Really?
The reformer.
I had an aunt that said that's the doctor she wanted to be cremated.
They did it to her?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They
don't know. I mean, I don't know if you can say they don't know. They really know, but they
even
don't
if they don't know, you know how bad it is to the soul? Suffering and suffering.
No, they just don't care.
They don't know. They don't believe in it.
I'm not sure they don't know. I think they know. They don't believe in it.
They know. They don't believe in it. They believe in the Avodah Zarah. And
I don't think they believe in anything, you know?
Atheists.
Yeah.
Your parents you buried, right?
Yeah, true. Thank God.
No, it's just, my first wife was a funeral director. And she would constantly be fighting with people when they wanted to do cremations. And she would use every single trick in the book, including, you know, mentioning about, you know, the Nazis and the Holocaust and everything else like that. And I've worked with enough, with Hever Kedisha enough to do Taharas. But the insanity that goes on, you know,
my wife's mother and father were both part of the Hever Kedisha.
Your wife's
yeah.
Where in Malaga?
In the Or Akiva.
In Akiva. Mm-hmm. It says in the Halacha, a person should not minimize his what he buys for Yom Tov, meaning he should be large, like Shabbos. Don't worry, you buy. Okay? Doesn't say that he has to borrow for it. Okay? But he should buy it to make him happy. Okay? Yom Tov is on Sunday. So every Yom Tov is on Shabbos. Right? So you do Shal Shabbos, Sudeshli Shiv. You should do it a little bit early. But then early, after Mincha, daven Mincha early. And then there's the Sudeshli Shiv. Why?
So you have an appetite for Yantiv. But it's very hard when you have Shabbos and Pesach.
Next year. No, next year. I think Erev Shabbos is Erev Pesach. Shabbos is Pesach.
2 years ago.
Shabbos is Pesach? Yeah. Shabbos is Pesach. Next year. That means we have 4 days of pure Chol HaMoed. Not Erev Shabbos, not Erev Pesach. There's no Shabbos Chol HaMoed that year. Next year. Yeah. Shvi Shvi Pesach on Friday, then you have Friday and Shabbos together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kiddush and Yom Tov is the Rabbanon. On Shabbos, Kiddush at night is the Oita, in the morning is the Rabbanon. On Yom Tov, they're both the Rabbanon.
The Kiddush at night on Yom Tov? From the rabbis? From the...
From the rabbis, yeah. If it's Shabbos, if it's Yom Tov, then Shabbos, do it. No, when Yom Tov falls on... No, when do you do it? When do you do Erev Tavshiri?
For Shabbat.
Could you cook on Shabbat for Yom Tov?
No.
No. So it has to be for Yom of the Shabbat. Why do you do it for Yom of the Shabbat? When Yom of the Shabbat, Shvi'i Pesach, next year will be an Erev Shabbos. So you do Erev Tavshini before Shabbat, before Yom Tov, and then you can prepare from.
Yes. It's different when Yom Tov is before Shabbat.
Then you do Erev Tavshini. Also, Rosh Hashanah will be again. Rosh Hashanah. Anyways, do Erev Tavshini because you want to prepare for one Yom Tov to the other. But if you want to cook for Shabbos to Yom Tov, from Friday, Shabbos, Friday, which is Yom Tov, you want to cook for Shabbos, you have to do Erev Tavshini.
We said Kiddush in the evening, Shabbat and Yom Tov is Derabbanan?
No, Shabbat is the right one.
But Yom Tov is
Derabbanan? Yeah. The Chazanish is to eat Suda Shlishit on every Yom Tov. But you don't have to. Some people do. You have to eat only two meals on Yom Tov, one at night.
Who did this?
Chazanish. He also used to eat Lav Malka on Yom Tov. What's the Yom Tov? He's telling you, yeah. The Gaon Mivilna, he always had Suda Shlishit only in Shvi'i Pesach. Like they're doing here also.
Suda Meshiach.
There's a Chabad called it. The Gaon called it Suda Preda.
I'm sorry.
Suda Preda. A meal that you say bye bye to the Yom Tov. The matzah is the Yom Tov. Also, a woman is obligated to be happy on the Chag. And the husband has a mitzvah to make her happy. Buy her nice things, clothing, whatever she wants, cheesecake. Okay.
So if she's not happy, it's the husband's fault?
No, it's her fault.
Tell her that.
Yeah, she's a mule.
Okay.
But the woman is obligated to be happy and the husband's not supposed to, doesn't
it? Of course the husband has to be happy, but
doesn't have to tell us that.
Women have to be simchat yom tov.
Because they're naturally not happy.
No, because it's not sure that they're chayav in this mitzvah. Uh-huh. And simchat yom tov.
I'm not sure that they're
chayav.
Whether they're chayav to be happy?
They have to be a special happiness for yom tov or not. Are they chayav to wash their hands for yom tov or not? You pass them that they are chayav. What time is it?
7 to 2.
You get 8 minutes more.
Okay. In the time of Chazal, at the time of Beis Hamikdash, so we brought for the regular, we used to kind of used to get a lot of meat, a lot of stuff, yeah? Because everyone used to bring shlamim. Called on the Chag, the Kohen also eat from it. Today they don't have Beis Hamikdash. The mitzvah to give Talmid Chachamim and Rabbanim to give them stuff that they could buy rabbis of the communities and stuff like that. To give them money, to give them something that they could make the Chag nice. There's a mitzvah to drink wine if you're able to on Yom Tov. And not grape juice.
No?
No, there's no mitzvah to drink grape juice on Yom Tov.
No.
You could make kiddush and grape juice. But the mitzvah of drinking wine is on wine. And not on grape juice. If it makes you happy. If it doesn't make you happy, you have no mitzvah. Okay.
What if grape juice makes you happy?
Okay, it's not a thing. But then that mitzvah of drinking wine, that's the wine, and women are not allowed to drink wine.
At all?
Yeah. No, they allow a drink, but not the...
A little bit.
Yeah, not like... Yeah. The mice, you're used to being happy not only if you drink wine, also if you have a good meal. If you don't like meat, You only like dairy. Fine, so your milk will be with dairy.
If you're happy with dairy.
Yeah, that's what makes me happy, good. And then the mitzvah is built, then you have to eat the meat. The raita. And then the mitzvah is built, you have to eat meat from the korban. The raita, all the vegetarians will have to eat it.
No, but anyway, when the base of the mitzvah is rebuilt, hopefully tomorrow.
Yes, and then the Shavuot.
It's today. Why not today?
It's too far.
I can't now. I need to go. You know the story? One of the tzaddikim, he once went to a little shtetl, you know, a little kretschme. Kretschme is like a... Yeah, a Jew has a... He has a little place, and he sells drinks, he sells this, he has rooms a little bit. Like a little motel. In Europe, that's what Jews used to do.
Tavern?
Good. That's what Jews used to do in Europe.
Yeah.
One of the tzaddikim was there once, so he was crying. The tzaddik of Tikkun Chatzor, he was crying. So the owner of the house said, "Why are you crying?" He said, "I want the Mashiach will come, to go to Beis HaMikdash, go to Eretz Yisrael." "Wait, you don't want Mashiach to come? You don't want to come to Eretz Yisrael?" "I have to ask my wife," he says. So when he goes to ask his wife tells him, "Fine, but what are we going to do with all our stuff?" So I said, "I don't know, I'll ask him." He goes to Tali, he says, "My wife's asking, what are we going to do with all of our cows and all that? What are we going to do with all the stuff? We can't just leave. Sheikh can't come now." So she went, so Tali told him, "No, because it's right, everything is good, everything is beautiful." So he went back to his wife, told her what's going to be. So I told him, "Tell the tzaddik that we can't leave our cows here and everything. So he could go with Mashiach to Israel. We're going to stay here." There we go. But really, Mashiach, come now!
And unfortunately,
not today, you know. Today. Fine.
That's what happened so many years ago.
But
they didn't want to leave their cows and businesses, and
they burnt.
Just like what's happening now in Odessa.
What's happening in Odessa?
The Nazis are burning down buildings with people inside.
What?
Burning down buildings?
Yeah. Where did you hear this thing?
Odessa?
I have the YouTube video on.
I thought they were taking them over, now you started to bring them down.
The government in Kiev is run by Nazis, Stalin Nazis, and backed by the U.S.
So they're letting it happen.
And they're throwing firebombs into buildings and burning you down to the ground.
So what about the Jews then?
The Jews are talking about being evacuated.
Where do you hear this?
Are they able to leave them? Yeah, they could leave if they want to.
They can leave if they want to. I heard that on Rusheva and also Jerusalem Post.
There's like 200,000 there, at least 200,000 Jews in the Ukraine.
Yeah, they're leaving. They want to leave immediately. In Odessa.
Come here.
Don't know. They can go, but then they call.
The mine is going Thursday.
Who? Yeah, you see, it's from what day is going?
Thursday.
I mean,
59.
There were pictures of them burning down.
Netzach is 148. The Rebbe Nachman is 148.
Netzach is the Midah of Rabbeinu.
Yeah.
Moshe Rabbeinu.
They were burning down Western banks, and the comment was that the Western bankers are sacrificing korbanot to their idols to make sure that the Americans, Canadians, and whoever doesn't do the same thing over there in America. I mean, things are getting to be rather...
2 o'clock. I thought it was only happening on the eastern side of the... on the border of Russia and Ukraine.
Odessa's
not on the east.
Odessa's on the south.
Yeah. It's not the east.
Well... there are like
creeping.
50 people died in that fire, and it's really freaking out the Russians because that's what the Nazis did during World War II. Their great patriotic war.
Even though there's no mitzvah today, I'm going Beis HaMikdash, because we don't have Beis HaMikdash in the Chag, there's an Inyan to go. If you're able to go during the Chag, the Kotel is good. The Chag, good thing to do.